to the Teach Happier podcast. I'm Suzanne Daly, your delighted host. Let's get into the healthiest headspace and heart space for our upcoming week working in schools, whatever our important role may be. Last week, we kicked off a little mini series where we flip some of the most well-known, and in most cases, cringy, platitudes right on their heads. And we started with the famous, everything happens for a reason. Our small shift in language was just ending the phrase early. Everything happens, period, hard stop. In a fully lived life, just about everything will happen to us, and it's not always for some deep reason, but simply because it can. This week, we're going to explore that whole notion of live with no regrets. Are you also thinking of that no regrets tattoo? I know, me too. You've been told to, quote, live with no regrets, right? Well, get this. There's a lot of recent research and study on regret, and we are going to unpack some of that today. Because the more I learned, the more I wanted to flip no regrets right on its head. I really think this can help us, our own children, and our students. Because I'd like to think the opposite is true. Regrets, although uncomfortable, are also a really important part of a fully lived life. So let's get into some of the research on regret, and a lot of it comes from author Daniel Pink, whose recent book, which I will link in the show notes, is called The Power of Regret: How Looking Backward Moves Us Forward. Can we just say that subtitle one more time? How Looking Backward Moves Us Forward. Oh, it's just so good. Daniel Pink conducted a world regret survey. Yeah, surveying tens of thousands of people from all over the world in about 100 countries. He likes to call his finding his, quote, database of regrets. And as he combed through the data, he said his latest billion-dollar idea is this: open up a travel agency that only caters to those who regret not studying abroad in college. So this leads us to one of his first discoveries in this regret research. Pink says this: rarely do we regret what we've done. We often regret what we didn't do. Two truths about regret are this: we all have them, and they don't feel good. As Yale professor Dr. Lori Santos says, regret can set up shop in our heads, and it can be miserable. Regret is pretty universal. Over 90% of people claim to have some strong regret about a decision they made in their lives, and that could be personally or professionally. More than likely, it will begin with the words, "if only." What would happen if you took some quiet time to conjure up some of your regrets from childhood, adolescence, and adulthood? Those sentences of, "if only," how could that inform your direction and decisions? As we unpack some of this research together, maybe it will help you find its proper perspective in your fully lived life. So let's give it a try. Conjure up a regret you have. A sentence that starts with, "if only." I'm going to do it too. I'll get vulnerable and share just a couple of my many regrets. I'll share a personal example and then a professional one in an effort to model how looking back on these two regrets have helped me move forward. Okay, here we go. Here are just two of my many regrets from the past 44 years of life. I'll start with a personal one. If only I stood up for this one kid in high school. His name is Mike, and he was teased just for being different. I didn't add to the teasing, but I also didn't stop it either. If only I had the courage to go against the crowd and be there for him. Professionally, last summer, I said yes to a speaking opportunity that took me away from home way too long, and honestly, it just wasn't worth my time or energy. If only I said no to that, I could have spent that time with my little family. So like we said before, regret does not feel good. Those two examples, they didn't make me feel good then, and they certainly don't make me feel good now. And it's so wild because that one regret from high school, it's 25 years ago. Regret is a pretty negative emotion, and we can get stuck there. But let's not take a shameful approach. Let's take a learner's approach on regret. And this is where we can start to turn that whole notion of no regrets around. Because this negative emotion can serve a purpose. Research shows that embracing regret can lead us to a more fulfilled and ultimately happier life. Because when we do, we make that small shift in thought as we understand regret is one of the most powerful ways the universe teaches us and some of the most necessary and valuable lessons. Mistakes are part of the human condition. But when we use our regrets as data or information, it allows us to clarify what we value and discern our next right thing. Liz Foslin, the author of the books No Hard Feelings and Big Feelings, suggests a small shift in language when reframing our regrets. Instead of beginning our sentence with, if only, we can shift to start with next time. Let's give it a try. That kid Mike, I think of him often. But instead of thinking, if only I stood up for him, I shift to, next time I notice someone isn't being treated well, I will stand up and be present for someone on the fray. I will use my regret as courage to do so. And that summer work obligation that just wasn't worth the time away from my family, instead of, if only I said no, I'm going to go to, next time I'm invited to travel and work, I'm going to think through this. Through my eyes and the eyes of Pat, Emerson, and Ryan. And let me tell you, looking backward has already helped me plan forward because summer 2024 looks quite different than it did last summer. I'm putting boundaries around my capacity. Reflecting on this particular regret in this way has helped me get better at not only choosing my presence, but also choosing my absence. As we begin to land the plane, considering the opposite of no regrets, I want to share just two more really brilliant things that Daniel Pink shared from his regret survey. He wants us to understand that when we put language to our regrets, whether that's by speaking about them or writing about them, it's an unburdening. Science shows that oftentimes we're worried that people may think less of us when we talk about our regrets. But the reverse is true. When we're vulnerable and share our regrets with people we trust, our connection and respect for one another are actually deepened and strengthened. Secondly, in Daniel Pink's book and listening to his multiple podcast interviews, he always highlights a specific regret, and he calls it a connection regret. The most common regret from his World Regret Survey is when we regret losing touch with somebody. So the regret would sound something like, "Ah, if only Laureen and I talked like we used to." And then time goes by, it gets awkward because so much time has passed. And then it feels even more weird to pick up the phone or text. But his research shows this. It's never, like 0% ever, as awkward as we perceive it to be. And when we reconnect with that person after a lot of time has gone by, it is almost always a welcomed and positive interaction. Our invitation this week is try to acknowledge a few of our regrets. Could we make a small shift in language from "if only" and evolve to "next time"? Can we thank our regrets for teaching us and allow them to inform our direction and decisions to discern our next right thing? Let's let regret serve as a creative spur to our personal or professional lives. So that whole notion of no regrets, we can evolve in our thinking. Daniel Pink says regret can be a great tormentor in our life, but we don't have to look at it that way. He would invite us to actually celebrate our regrets, as it can be a transformative practice to reflect on them to help us move forward. We don't want regrets to set up shop in our heads and ruminate for a long time. We want to move through them. Looking back moves us forward. There is so much on the other side of regret. Small shifts bring the biggest gifts. We'll see you next week when we explore the ridiculous notion of go for the gold. Thanks for listening to this week's Teach Happier episode. If your school district or organization is thinking about summer or fall professional development to welcome back teachers in a healthy headspace and heart space, please reach out at suzannedaly.com.